Stories have a rhythm to them, a beginning, a middle, an end. Mysteries beg for answers. Narratives demand conclusions. Perhaps this is why Jenny made such a powerful impression on me. Her story had no proper finale. It was a never-ending loop, a perfect circle.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that brings you updates and reviews of Book Talk's most popular books and tells you whether or not you should take time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. And somehow we are bringing you a technically classified horror book 2 weeks in a row.
So well, we broke it up in between, but yes.
Two books in a row. So happy spring. It's spooky spring.
Hey, it works.
So this week we are doing a book by an author we have done before. Shout back to like some of our very, very first episodes. So we are doing Silvia Moreno Garcia's The Bewitching. And I feel like from the title, you could probably guess a little bit of what the book is about, but essentially it follows three interconnected timelines of women who are dealing with researching, learning about witchcraft, and not in the traditional sense of the word, in a very spooky sense of the word, bordering on vampirism.
It's your heart out
ours lately. I don't know why.
Cannibalism's our thing, apparently.
We hit Twilight and we just keep getting vampires after that. So
I do feel like vampires have been the monster focus of like every even remotely horror book we've read in the last year.
Yes.
Yeah. And then some.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're just always showing up.
Here we are. Mild cannibalism. Also, we're back.
2 weeks in a row.
You right. know,
incest for the pod. So trigger warning on that.
This whole book is a trigger warning. Just so much trigger. So
there's a lot of things. It's a horror novel. So, you know, investigate ahead of time.
It's almost until the end. It's like more of a like suspensey horror, like a things that go bump in the night. Mm-hmm. But then,
I would argue
then
there's really
actual horror.
Yeah, I would argue there's really only one out of all three storylines that's actually qualifies as horror. But, you know, we can talk about that later.
Interesting.
That's a take.
Yeah. So anyway, the three generations of women in the same family all having to basically engage in witchcraft. Family. Aren't they all related?
Nope.
Only two of them.
Oh, right. I forgot. Okay, never mind. It's been a minute since I read this book.
Interconnected.
But Silvia Moreno Garcia is famous for kind of historical fiction horror set in like Mexican settings. So one timeline is like on a hacienda. One timeline is like that person's great granddaughter at college researching another girl's timeline who went to that spooky New England cottage. So college, not cottage, but there are cottages involved, sort of.
Yes.
But yes, lots of culture shout outs.
Yeah. Do you guys have reviews?
Yes. The reviews of this book didn't disappoint, only because so many people have DNF'd this book for the one star sections. And so I found one DNF that kind of spoke to me a bit. So it's a one star review and it says gave in at 27% because I didn't know it was possible to fit so many unlikable characters into so few pages and also incest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which at that point,
the incest said the word incest.
Yeah. The fact that the incest hasn't happened at 27%, but you can have an inkling that it's gonna.
Yeah.
I want to read just the first line of one because I liked it. And it was like, I think it was a DNF. it said bewildering, not bewitching.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
But then there's one that I wanted to read because I relate. I didn't DNF the book. This person did at 36%. I'm annoyed because I know this author can write better than this and yet has been publishing mid books. This book is worse because this book has incest for some reason and the male love interests are painfully boring. Like, I enjoy the ambience of her books, but the plots have been so boring for her past couple of ones.
Ooh. Real. Yeah. Okay, I have two. One is a 2-star. It says, strongest emotion I felt reading this was, girl, that's your uncle.
Thank you. And like page one, like what?
Yeah. Girl, that's your uncle. Yeah.
I literally,
we're not spoiling anything. This girl very clearly has a crush on her very young uncle, like page one.
Yes. Yeah. And I literally, I don't remember the conversation, but we were having a conversation, the three of us. And I was like, I am on chapter 2 and I'm almost positive that she's going to fuck her uncle.
Wow. Does she?
They're like 5 years age difference, but still weird.
It's still obviously, her uncle.
They're related. And not like she just calls him her uncle. Like, he's literally her uncle. They are related.
And she calls him uncle.
Yeah.
Somehow pair them together and it's even worse.
Yeah. Okay. The other review I have was a 1-star. It said 30% into the book and nary a witch. Life's too short.
That's so fair.
I'm guessing that was a DNF.
Yes.
When I was young, there were still witches.
Bitchware.
Yeah. You knew they were coming. They have not arrived for a while.
Right.
It took them forever to arrive.
Yeah.
Did they ever arrive? Actually, yes. But
they very much so arrived. Yes.
Yeah.
Not until like 70%. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, we read our reviews. I cheated and saw everyone's Goodreads reviews. But let's go over our star ratings.
Oh, wait, don't we do, we need to do the overall ratings first.
Oh, yeah. I didn't read those. Sorry. I was like busy opening the spreadsheet to type in our ratings and totally. Okay. The overall Goodreads rating for this book is 3.81 out of 5, Fable 3.5 out of 5, Storygraph 3.96 out of 5. So, like, not the, like, strongest reading we've read, but has been popular off and on for, like, a year, especially during spooky season, but it's come back a few times. I've seen it pop up, so people are interested.
Right. I think we all have the same review. That's my hypothesis. So really? I don't mind going first. I gave the book 3 stars. I thought it was fine. Overall, I was a little disappointed with it just because I really loved Mexican Gothic, which is the other book we read by her. I found it really boring. I didn't really think all three of the perspectives connected in an exciting enough way to justify having them all. And I was really only interested in the uncle timeline. I just thought that one was the most like historical and rich. And so, and also like we've already mentioned the incest a bunch of times, like I found it a little gratuitous. I didn't know that it was necessary in the book, and I felt like it was thrown in to create a feeling of horror that could have come from better written characters and storylines. The ending, one specific storyline's ending, I did think served horror enough that I was like finally interested in it in the end. But most of the storylines, I think, kind of ended still sort of like whatever. So I don't know. I was overall pretty underwhelmed.
Yeah. I guess I'll go next because I had the exact same rating. I gave it 3 stars.
I want to, as you say that, read both their reviews because LOL, when I saw it, I was about, I don't often type in my reviews. I was going to write was really good until the incest. Casey wrote, horribly predictable with an uncomfortable amount of incest. Catherine wrote, the ending was pretty predictable and I'm not a fan of incest.
Oh my God, we literally are the exact same.
Like the same review.
Yeah, I did not know that. I just typed in my review.
It made me laugh.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I think the incest was like not necessary. Like you could have had the horror without the incest, and you could have had the uncomfortable power dynamic without the incest. And like I predicted everything. I predicted all the endings. I knew what was happening pretty much as soon as I started the book. So I think she set too many breadcrumbs out for you to figure it out. And I feel like even though we are pretty well versed in book predictions at this point, because we've read so many of these kind of books, I think even like the most novice of horror reader would have guessed that ending because of
half the reviews said very predictable.
Yeah. Cause it felt like she was hitting me over the head with a frying pan with the hints that she was giving.
Yeah.
Were they hints? And I feel like she just told us what was going to happen.
Yeah. And she took her time laying those breadcrumbs down. Like,
yeah. But I think the idea of the book is really interesting. And I actually did like the idea of these three timelines. I don't think they were executed super well, but I like the intergenerational, interconnected witchcraft in both America and Mexico and how they can overlap. And I was very interested, obviously, in Alba's storyline because that was the most interesting storyline and also like how it affected modern day or 1998.
Yeah.
No surprise. I also gave it 3 stars. The end got pretty interesting. I was kind of almost like leaning almost to a 4, and then you know what happened. And I was like, ah, no. I don't know. Like, I really enjoy her writing style. I do. And I have in every book I've read by her. It was predictable. It was really slow to start. And I cannot get over the weird infatuation with her uncle thing. That was weird. But like, Moreno Garcia like thrives when she writes period Mexico City like stories. So I think that's why that one was her strongest storyline, minus the one part. And I think you almost could have done entirely without the middle storyline.
Yes.
I agree.
I thought been told through people.
Because it was so boring. And I felt like we got all the information, like you're saying, from other characters. So like, it just felt sort of like we're wasting time here. Okay. Well, is the book more plot or character driven?
Plot?
Yeah, plot.
The characters don't grow. Is the thing. They're just experiencing these similar things. There's like no character growth and that things are happening to them.
Mm-hmm. They're being bewitched.
Yeah. And they have to stop bewitching.
Oh, spoiler. No.
I was about to smack you.
Try me, girl. We ain't together this week.
I know. I think mysteries are almost always plot driven because they're trying to figure something out, and that thing is normally the actions of another person. And in this book, most of the characters are trying to stop something from happening to them, so you know, pretty plot.
Yep. Have you read other books by the author? We have all read Mexican Gothic and loved it. Still think about it often. I read Silver Nitrate, which came out 2 years ago. It might have been the one before this one that came out. I hated it. I don't even totally remember what it was about. It had something to do with like being haunted by like film, like movies and stuff. Silver Nitrate had to do with like the film processing, whatever. Also super boring. Also think it was because It was what not also super boring. It was really boring. And I think it was because it was also written. It was like the 80s, I think. So it was written in a more current timeline. And I feel like she just does better with the historical, like the really historical stuff. I don't know. I was excited because this one was getting good reviews. I was like, maybe she'll redeem it for me. And it's like better, but like it's no Mexican Gothic.
No, Mexican Gothic's her best book.
Well, disappointing. How was the pacing of the book? How long did it take you to read?
Boring. And it took me a week to read.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me a week to read and that was a really busy week. So like it wasn't the worst. It just felt slow.
Yeah.
Especially because there were timelines you preferred over other ones. So you were always looking forward to the, like the one timeline.
Yeah. I thought the first 60% of this book was so boring. Yeah. And most of the storylines totally lacked tension. One of the reasons that the oldest timeline was the most interesting is there was just the most happening in that timeline. Like people were showing up dead and the main character had to figure out why. And like everything was centered around her family and people were like, her family's cursed. And so that one was like the only one where things were actually happening. And so I really struggled to get through this book and I really liked the concept. So I kept waiting for some surprising connection to happen. And then it just like never appeared.
Nope.
Okay. Would you watch a movie or TV show with the book?
No,
nope.
But I don't like gore. So.
There was less gore than in the last book we did, but like you said, for a long time, like they weren't really doing anything. And like none of the characters, none of the main timeline characters were super likable. Like I wasn't rooting for any of them. I was just kind of like, oh no, don't get killed.
Yeah, it felt like they were all just very passive characters. Like they were observers more than they were like heroines. And so
there were no heroines in this.
Yeah, movie. Everything was happening to them. They weren't doing anything about it.
And that's why Albus was most interesting is she was the most active in fighting her situation because she had to be. Everyone else, it just felt like, oh, my God, girl, if you don't want to live that bad, that's OK, I guess. Like,
you know? Well, and I don't think it helped that the middle timeline, you knew the ending already and you knew that it was going to be unsolved. So you were just watching a train wreck happen. And watch nobody believe
that's
her.
I don't think you really needed the middle one. Like you could have done a few journal entries and been chill.
Right. Except you also did know. And then the whole time I was like, surely this is too obvious and it won't actually be this person. Mm-hmm. No, it's the obvious person.
It was the obvious person in every timeline.
Yep.
And I have a gripe that we'll talk in the spoiler section about that specific timeline.
Okay.
Also, let the women be the witches, okay? Leave the women alone. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys have your busy girl ratings?
I'm going to knock mine down to a 2. Because I'm not going to recommend this book to anyone. Like, it was a fine book and, like, a great concept poorly executed. So this is a very soft 3 for me, but I did finish it and I was at no point did I want to DNF this book. I'll say that right now. But at the same time, I think back to other busy girls books that I've like given higher ratings and it's because I could like get through it very quickly. I could pick it up, put it back down and I would recommend it to other people. I don't see myself ever recommending this book to other people. So I think I'm going to give it 2.
I'm going to leave it out of 3. I feel like there's definitely an audience for this. And if you are the audience, it's an easy read. And there are good start and stop points just because of how it switches between the timelines. If you are in it for the suspense and like her writing style, I think it's fine. Am I going to recommend it to all my like fantasy girlies? No. But like overall, I liked it. So I'm not mad at it. I'll give it a 3 for the busy girl.
Yeah, I think I'll also stick with a 3. I just thought it was fine. And a busy girl 3 isn't You know, I think 2 is a little too low because I'm like, it wasn't that bad. But I could definitely couldn't give it any higher than 3 because I thought it was just fine.
It was mid.
Mid.
I have higher expectations for her because of Mexican Gothic.
I don't, because of silver nitrate.
Okay. Well, with that, let's get into our spoiler alert section. If you are interested in reading the book still, go do that before we tell you everything that happens. Though, honestly, there shouldn't be a spoiler alert section in this book because you'll know everything that's going to happen within the first 3 chapters.
The title is The Bewitching.
Everyone's bewitched.
You can assume.
I take issue with this use of the word bewitching. I actually have a gripe with the fact that they're being bewitched. I was like, being bewitched is like having spells put on you. Like, these people are just being followed by witches. Like,
they're being hunted.
Being hunted is different than being bewitched. Like,
because they're not being forced to do anything. They're literally just being scared to death.
Right.
As they say on a podcast I like to listen to, you got haunted.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I feel like haunting and, you know, being played with is different than being bewitched. Like, yeah.
Bewitched has the connotation of like that your mind and faculties were changed to do something you didn't mean to.
You've been put under a spell. You've been used as a cog in the scheme. We're really
bewitched, like, body and soul. Like, I think of it more romantically than
you think of Mr. Darcy.
I do. The only man who should say the word bewitched to me.
But yeah, I didn't feel like this book was a bewitching. This was more about like being hunted.
Yeah, witches hunting you for your blood.
Right.
And heart.
This book should be titled Witches Play With Their Food.
Oh my god, it should be.
This book should be called Depressed Narrators Bravely Await Their Death.
Actually, I did think at one point I was like, oh, maybe I'm not depressed. Maybe I'm just being stalked by a witch. That seems to be the moral of the story for the like most current timeline is the girl is like, my migraines and my depression. Nah, girl, you're being haunted.
And also, for most of the book, that's the worst that happens to them. Apparently being stalked by a witch just means occasionally you feel like someone's watching you.
Green light appears.
Right. Respectfully.
Like, who are you, Gatsby? Like, what?
Exactly. And it wasn't.
I have so many jokes for this book.
It wasn't scary. The only person whose situation was genuinely scary was Alba.
Yes.
Like everyone else, I was like, they just getting a sneaking sense that someone's watching you isn't like fear inducing.
This is also a theme we seem to come across is academia is spooky. Don't do it.
I've never read so much discouragement from getting an advanced degree in my life. Like, honestly, I'm thankful for it because
everything we read that has to do with graduate studies is very bad.
They want to kill themselves by the end of it. Yeah.
Right. Or they're actively being someone's trying to kill them.
Yeah.
Right. So on my point that I actually only think Alba's timeline actually qualifies as horror. The other 2 timelines are closer to being a Taken movie than they are to being a horror novel. They just get abducted.
I don't know.
That's not horror.
The suspense qualifies.
Just getting abducted is not a horror novel. Like, you have to have more things happen than just a human being kidnaps you. Like, that's all that happened to them. Big whoop.
They thought they were going crazy.
Not very
convincing. I feel like it's like a psychological horror for a lot of it.
But there was no psychosis. It was just like, oh, did I put that
there?
They
were mind games.
I would argue Minerva's is at least horror, her timeline.
I think maybe at the very end. The only part that like is sort of horror is when the house shakes.
I think Minerva can be passive.
I think it can be if the consequences of whatever is happening to the narrators are more extreme. Like, if any of them had been genuinely driven crazy, then I would be like, okay, that's horror.
I think it would have been better if Jenny's somehow connected to Minerva's more. Like,
yeah. Because that was my other thing. So I was like, why are we hearing from all these other people, like, who aren't scared? Like,
well, I did. This is my main gripe that I wanted to say earlier. That is kind of a spoiler. When you get in, the reason why I didn't like the middle point of view is because, like, we knew the ending. We knew how Beatrice felt and everything. But at the same time, I was like, Beatrice, all of the pieces of the puzzle are right in front of you. Yeah. And you're too stupid to recognize them, because she literally writes in her, like, memoir that she overhears a conversation between Carolyn and her father saying there has to be two. And I'm like, girl, they're talking about eating two people. How do you not grasp that? Yeah, you write it. You think it's important enough to write in your book, but you don't investigate it.
Yeah.
Also, why did we name the current timeline girl after, like, the goddess of wisdom? She wasn't very smart.
Other gripe? Supposed to be geniuses and display no intelligence.
Also, were you naming it after the traditional Minerva, or were you naming her after the Harry Potter Minerva because witches? You know? I did have that thought immediately in the book.
Yeah, Catherine, I agree with you. I was like, this is actually pretty obvious. Yeah, like, yeah. She hated her guts, was happy when she disappeared. Her father and her fiance had financial troubles, and they were evil people anyway. And yeah, I was just like, really? No one thought to point the finger at her.
Well, then, like, especially cements it with the conversation with Benjamin, where he basically is like, oh, yeah, no, Betty never had a mean thing ever to say about Carolyn. And I'm like, why? Why did she never have a mean thing to say? Like, Carolyn was a shitty friend.
Yeah.
Tongue tied.
I don't think so.
That happens in, like, every timeline. They make it where you can't talk about the spooky witch person.
But she could talk about her, I think, because she stayed in their lives.
Yeah.
Positively.
Maybe.
That's why she never had a bad thing. Remember, Arturo was like, I made it where you can't gossip about me. She could talk about him any other way.
I just feel like she would have said that if that's what happened.
Yeah, because then they say that Jenny can write down her attacker's name. So Beatrice could write down her, like, the attacker's name if she was truly tongue-tied.
Did she know?
Yeah, that makes her an idiot if she didn't know. She had all the pieces of the puzzle and was hung up on this woman for decades. And you're telling me she never thought for once that, like, Carolyn might have been behind it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I
think she thought there was witchcraft involved. I'm not sure she suspected Carolyn.
It was bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you guys think overall of the three different timelines? I'm team second timeline could have been eliminated.
I'm also that team.
Yeah, same, because, like, it was the only person not familiarly related.
Right. I was like, it's thematically doesn't quite fit.
Just have Carolyn tell you about her friend that disappeared or whatever.
I think that would have been more interesting if we got more of Carolyn's storytelling POV of that timeline.
Yeah.
And telling it to Minerva. I understand
she was supposed to be, like, researching this manuscript, whatever. However, it was boring. Like, it didn't even have to be about a thesis. It could just be like, oh my gosh, I heard of stories like this from my grandmother, and now I'm experiencing it. I need to find out more while I'm here for the summer. Like, it didn't even have to be like you were reading her papers, whatever.
Right. Okay, what about our three main characters, Alba, Betty, and Minerva?
They were tolerable.
Yeah, sure.
I thought they were all fine.
They're fine.
Yeah.
I appreciated Alba.
Yeah.
She's a child, though, and she makes childish decisions.
Right.
Minerva is more of, like, the isolation horror. She's just kind of there. She's a grad student. I actually liked Betty. it was the most boring timeline, but I liked her voice and I liked how she was like torn between the two worlds of like your rich friend or your nice friend. And she was like a scholarship student. And then, I don't know. That was interesting. Woman horror writer. I liked how she worked that part in at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they were all totally fine. I liked Alba the most because I thought she ultimately exercised the most agency.
She tried to get murdered.
Well, yeah, she kind of had to.
Yeah, she didn't have a choice.
She wanted that witch. No, she wanted the witch to murder her.
Oh.
She was going to say, screw my family, kill me now.
But I understood her logic because she was so driven mad by her yes, uncle.
But why did you have to have sex with your uncle to make this end come about? Why was intercourse necessary? Why was penetration part of the plan and she liked it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing that was disturbing and I don't think it should have been in the book. However, I understood why that was the route that she went. Again, my main qualm is that the fact that he was her uncle at all. I just don't think the incest portion of the story was necessary.
Yeah.
No.
I understand her using sex to get him because yes. She knew he would be out of control. And that he wouldn't be able to stop himself and that ultimately she was what he wanted out of this. So,
yeah, it's gross, but I understood her reasoning for doing what she did.
She's not like twice. A fighter, you know, she's got one again. Solution.
And she orgasm.
I mean, you can't control your bodily functions sometimes.
Yeah. People who are essayed.
It was just too weird for me. Too weird.
I agree. I don't think it needed to happen like that. If anything, we could have solved this problem by making it a family friend.
Yeah. But because see, I don't like, I think it still makes sense to me because I like the aspect of horror where like these monsters make you like the abuse, right? Like it's still abuse. Like I feel like vampires and vampire lore are famous for that kind of effect where they can kind of charm people and like lure them in even as they're preying on them.
He's a warlock.
Yeah, but it's the idea of like Dracula horror, which is like Dracula was very charismatic.
I know. I just...
For me, it's the uncle of it all.
Yeah, it's the uncle. It's the incest of it all.
I feel like if she really was an initiative girly, like you're arguing, she would have found a way that didn't involve screwing her uncle.
It made it seem like this was the only choice.
Yeah, I think it was the only choice. She didn't have tons of time or access to the internet to figure out how you could kill him. Like, who else was she going to ask?
The only way was to convince him to
lure him with some cologne and fine clothes. I don't know. Take him shopping. He probably could have conquered the same thing.
I don't know about that.
The man was like... He was a glutton for many things. I don't know. I just...
But her only solution was to get him to drink the poison.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And it had to be quick because it would leave her body within a few hours.
Yeah, you could have done that too with just playing the piano. You almost did it multiple times playing the piano together.
But he might have noticed what was in her blood. That was also part of it.
I don't know.
Like she needed him to be drinking and drinking. I'm defending her decision making. I actually think that she had very few options. And I think that did display bravery to do something so horrible, like basically consent to being raped is like a brave decision, I believe.
I also think while her storyline was the most interesting, she was not my favorite because she was a child. She was like, I don't want to do chores. I want to live in the city. Help me, Tadeo. Oh no, Tadeo's gone. Help me, Valentine. Oh no, now Valentine's gone. Now I have to do something.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But
she lacked initiative until there was literally no other option.
Yeah.
Right. But she's still ultimately the only character who actually took initiative.
And also,
I agree with you. She's also annoying. Like,
yeah, she was very annoying and obtuse and naive. But at the same time, don't falter on her decision making, because she was put in a very hard place. And I'm never going to say that, oh, she could have done something differently, because she was put into a position where a man in power, a position of power and a position of familial, like, it just, he had all the power. He had all the cards.
I know that. I'm just, I don't know. Maybe in my head, I compare her storyline a lot to Vampires of El Norte, because young girl, Mexican plains, unknown threat in the night. And the girl in Vampires of El Norte was like, get my horse. I'm going to find out what's happening. Let's go. And I just needed more of the, like, let me figure this out.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately all three of them are more boring and take less initiative than main character should. She's just my favorite because I felt like she did it the most out of the three in this story. Because also a lot of these characters were kind of like annoying privileged girls. Like, it sucks to say, because especially in Minerva's case, like, she's moved to the States. So she's like very much like not wealthy in comparison to her classmates, and like is experiencing racism and sexism and classism. And so it's like, I really feel sad for her, but also like, you know, she's obviously not like a pauper in Mexico. And so I was kind of like, the fact that she had this opportunity is also a privilege. And it was sort of the same for these other women. Like, they kind of had an opportunity to have an education in Betty's storyline and in Alba's storyline. Like, she was like protected and beloved on this ranch. And it felt like they were sort of reacting like rich girls. Like, even when you would have expected that their life scenarios would make them maybe more like hardy people.
All of them were the girls who in the scary movie, like, went into the basement to see what the noise was.
Yeah.
Well, right. Especially because, like, by the ending with Minerva and everything, you would expect her from the start to be more, I don't know, ingenuitive. Like,
because I she's going to be a little more spicy.
Yeah, because she grew up knowing about witches and knew that she had portents and knew she had powers. So I would think that she would have used her knowledge earlier.
Also, I needed more info on the witchborn thing. Like, I get it, but also that was her great grandmother, not her mom, not her grandmother.
Right. It's confusing. Which on that note, what did you think of the magic system, the witch lore, sort of like a witch vampire crossover type thing going on with green lights and shaking of homes and whatnot?
It was all moldy bread.
I thought the green light thing was strange.
Yes. And it felt like an alien abduction, not like witches.
Yeah.
It was never well explained.
And they never really address where that came from. Like, is that where, what is generating the green light?
We don't know.
The witch.
Like,
I don't know. They mentioned witches and trees at the very beginning, and that's all I got. Also, the whole like turning people into animals thing to do their bidding or whatever was a little,
that one I understood a little more.
Yeah, it's just like not the normal witch lore.
Yeah. And I like the, I wish we had explored more of like the good witches, because I really like that one witch was just like, there's no such thing as light and dark magic. It's just whoever uses it. Yeah. It's the intent behind it.
Right.
One, like the point, everybody's superstitious to an extent. It's just how humans function.
Right.
So I liked that. But I don't know. It was like, it was a very unique take on witchcraft, which I did appreciate. I just wish I knew more about some of the components.
Yes.
Instead of just being like, oh my God, it was Tadeo. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I wish.
And why did they melt? Why did they all? I mean, witches melt. Okay. But like,
right.
I don't know.
We were asked to take things at face value.
Yeah. I just would have, like, she's got all these books where she's researching witchcraft, researching all of this. And I was like, are you going to tell us what you found? Like, how do you identify a witch instead of just like these things are happening? It's got to be a witch.
Yes, I agree. I felt like there was a lack of real outlining. So I never understood what witches were really capable of or what their real motives even were, because in the case of Carolyn, it was obviously financial. And Alba's uncles needed basically to kill people in order to get their wealth. So, but then there was all this like shape shifting. And I was just like, I don't really understand what their powers are.
No, like, their eyes glow.
Right.
And then suddenly at the end, they went from just being like outside the window being spooky to like they can move stuff across the room and compel you. And I was like, whoa.
Right. And now they're in your mind. And Alba has this experience where her uncle's like assaulting her, like from a dream or something. Like, it was just like,
yeah, also not explained at all.
No.
Right. And I was like, what can they do? It just felt like there was no limits on their power, which was confusing.
Right. And they were like, oh, blood gets our power stronger. I'm like, but where'd the rest of it come from? Like, you're clearly not like eating a person every single day. So like, I don't know. Right. Like, I got it. It made sense. I just wanted to know more because that's who I am.
And I think that's who we all are. We want the fleshed out magic system that tells us why.
I need the diagram of the witch.
Well, I feel in horror, part of what creates like the actual feeling of fear is not knowing. But as the book goes on, the less defined the monster's capabilities are, the more things just kind of feel convenient. Like,
well, and it's a, you said it in an academic setting where you are studying witches.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some more. Let's get some stories. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought Nana Alba could have interacted more with Minerva and her timeline through like memories or stories when she was back in Mexico and she remembered how this connected more to present day.
Other than the parrot, because there was a ghost cat at the very last page.
Yeah, I was sad that they killed off the cat.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the end, she's like, and I touched this ghost and now he's my ghost cat. And I was like, so they do that too?
Yeah. So you got ghost cats now?
I mean, like, slay, that's cool, but...
Also, what the fuck happened to your cat?
Yeah. Well, Carolyn killed her
cat. Also, you didn't have to drink blood to do magic. Like,
and what was up with Conrad?
No. Yeah, he was just a pedo.
Just there? Just there, accidentally, everywhere bad?
Yeah. I think he's just a weirdo, yeah.
That's how I also felt. I was like, this is just ridiculously convenient.
It was just a red herring.
Yeah. And then Minerva was at the end like, I guess I may never know. And I was like, that's weird that you're just like, oh, well, to a guy who maybe knew his aunt was killing people. Like, oh, right.
Grandma. She was like, no, you can't come in.
Yeah. Like,
but they'll probably get together later anyway.
Well, he'll definitely try to kill her later.
And who is the guy who is staying on campus?
That's Conrad. Okay. So Noah is the grandson.
Which was confusing at first. They were not clearly defined for the first like two portions of her timeline. Mm-hmm. I was like, who am I? Oh, there's two of them.
Because also, red herrings are stupid if you never explain why those characters were in the book. Like, a red herring has to be a red herring because they were in this story for this purpose. Like, you can't just introduce characters as suspects and then abandon them and be like, never mind, I got ya.
Well, because like, I think Conrad was there to say that, like, maybe Thomas disappeared because of him. But we never felt that way. Like, I never felt that way. No. I was like, no, he's just a playboy.
He's hanging around just to be this, like, pointless, like, maybe it's him. It's like, but nobody thinks it's him. Clearly. It's obviously Carolyn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Speaking of Carolyn, the Wingraves, they suck. We all suspected they were witches.
Yeah.
But let's talk more about the time Minerva spends with Carolyn and Carolyn's little project of helping the poor kids and then eating them.
Well, yeah, it's so fucking obvious. If they disappear, every poor kid that she invests in disappears.
No, not all of them. Just two of them.
Yeah.
Still crazy.
Like, yeah. This is one of the points where I think the world building could have been a little bit stronger, because I feel like things are kind of just explained away, like, oh, Carolyn's rich, so she makes things just disappear. And I was like, I don't know. If one college had multiple students going missing, that would be like a huge deal. Like, and they just made it sound like, oh, this person just left. This person just dropped out of classes. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I stretched my believability a little bit.
Especially when they have family members saying, yep, we haven't heard of them or seen them.
Right.
So where did they go?
Yeah, especially when it was the all girls school. You told me those girls weren't like, oh my God, we're all going to die.
Right. And you don't have a bunch of other rich daddies being like, so a daughter went missing out of like, or a woman went missing at my daughter's school. Someone explain this. Like, the Wingraves aren't the only wealthy people sending their children to private schools in New England. Like,
one, you would think if they were like, we suspect the quote unquote help to have been the person to take her. I feel like rich people would hunt that man to the end of the earth.
There would be an actual witch hunt looking for that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they thought a man who is not white killed a white woman and took her away, there would be a witch hunt.
But she was a hippie, so who cares?
Right.
That's too convenient.
It was just all got swept under the rug. So effectively.
She was a Depression era hippie? Question mark.
Spiritualist.
Spiritualist. There we go. Okay. So Carolyn, I thought, was honestly a fine villain. It was just that it was so obvious. Yes. Like, I don't know. And also, like, sort of rich older white woman who is like happy to discard of the low classes feels like a little too tropey for me.
It was
like
very Cruella DeVil.
Right.
It was literally Cruella DeVil.
Her character and her motivations and her backstory could have been a little bit more complicated than what we got.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the other big villain, incest uncle Arturo.
Now, he was a good villain.
Very good villain.
Scary guy.
He was. He was very, you know, once it explained why he did all the things he did, why he liked his cologne, there was a lot more breadcrumbs there that I was like, oh, this came together very lovely.
Right.
And like, it was very clear. All the bad stuff started when he showed up.
And literally the witch spat when she saw him and her together. So.
And he was seducing his niece. So red flag.
Yeah. The other thing I found shocking is that no one else in the household is like, what's going on with the two of them?
Like, they shouldn't be alone together.
Like her mother. Right. Why is my little brother seducing my daughter? Weird. Right.
They're sitting really inappropriately close together all the time.
Also, you know, a little sibling would say something.
Yeah. Everyone can see. Like, there were scenes in the story where I was like, what's happening right now is not very discreet. And I'm feeling very uncomfortable, actually, that no one else in this household is stepping in.
Like, oh, it's her uncle. He would never.
You know, if Tadeo had just said, you're not welcome here, problem solved.
Yep.
Well, it seems like he tried, and look where that got him.
Where did it get him? Still not totally sure.
Turned into an animal and then killed by a sister.
Yeah, an animal creature.
Which was heartbreaking.
Yes. This is why I did like the end of this storyline, though, is because I felt like there actually were twists and turns and like weird fucked up things happening where I was like, okay, this is scary. Like, I'm like, and I'm seeing the folklore kind of come to life finally.
The scariest part was when she ended up killing her brother. Yes.
Yeah.
No, the scariest part is her being pregnant at the end with her uncle's baby.
Well,
yeah.
That's the scariest part.
Named after her brother, aka his nephew.
Right. And I guess that's like kind of the only character growth we get, is because she finally kind of becomes an adult in this really fucked up way where she's like, I guess I have to let my uncle sexually abuse me in order to kill him. And then she's just sort of like gets pregnant and is like, well, life marches on. And I was like, I don't know.
You're a witch. Like, you could figure it out.
It's a pretty big fucking deal to be pregnant and unmarried in this time period. And also multiple people in your family are dead and disappeared. Like, I.
Yeah. And your family's like destitute.
Your family's right. cursed.
And you have no money and no one in town will talk to you or associate with your family.
You're telling me your mother wouldn't be like, excuse me, my brother raped you.
I don't think she told him that, but.
I know, but like mothers who are around their kids that much should be able to piece things together, you know? Yes.
Right. Or in the very least, assume that it was her like brief kind of boyfriend's child or something. Like,
I mean, she said that was one. Some people assumed it was Valentine's child. And I'm like, that was the most upstanding young man I have ever met. It was not him.
Yeah, he would not have sex with her before.
What a gem. I knew he would die. But what yeah, a gem. I knew
he would die, too.
Yeah.
The only thing surprising was like you knew Tadeo disappeared because she like referenced her grandma's story was about her brother disappearing, which she should have just left out and let you been surprised. The only thing surprising was how soon it happened in the book.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So what did you, well, we already kind of touched on that. The child was disturbing.
Really powerful witch, I guess.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about like the rest.
I'm like, what version of this story was Alba telling her grandchildren? Surely not the full thing. Like,
how else would it have been in there? Because essentially all of this was told through Minerva.
Yeah, I think it might have been the whole thing.
Because I'm like, that's
you're on her deathbed.
And your grandmother was an incest child between me and was the product of a sexual assault with a vampire. I'm like, oh,
it was my uncle.
Yeah.
My vampire uncle got me pregnant and I killed him for it.
Your great great uncle is also your great great grandfather.
Yeah. Someone call MTV. Like, Jesus. Yeah. So anyway, then Minerva's story is sort of like has this showdown with Carolyn. She gets Carolyn to drink her poison blood. Do you think no one knows? Does anything surprise you about how that storyline wrapped up?
Not at all surprising, but I did like Carolyn meeting the Mexican folktale side and being, because she totally underestimated Minerva and underestimated her witch-born blood, because she knew she was witch-born, but didn't actually think that, oh, maybe her family might have told her how to ward away from witches then. And that was quite a obtuse like thing.
So why was she putting on jewelry to eat her?
Yeah, she's weird.
I was so confused. I like the end suspense that is Noah in the know or no? Yeah. And part of me wants to believe he's so dumb. He actually is just like, I'm free of all this generational trauma now and don't have to marry this girl. But I kind of like.
I think
ideally he would be a little bit like a little spicier.
Well, he talked about how he would sneak into the factory and that's where they killed people. So I have a feeling he might have seen some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, as much but as Carol
boys, hated him. Boys don't get to be witches, okay?
Except right, for totally incestual uncles.
Right. And that's why he was so evil. He was not supposed to be having magic, okay? That's girl stuff.
Girl stuff. Leave it girl alone, power. Boys. Let us have our silly little witchcraft.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Do you guys have a recommendation?
Mexican Gothic.
Of El Norte. Which I recommended last time, too, but... Oh, and Catherine recommended Mexican Gothic because we don't read a lot of horror.
I don't like horror.
Yeah, me neither. So
I do love horror, but I was trying to think of a good mystery. And yeah. It has genuinely been so long since I feel like I read like a good mystery.
Hmm. Okay, guys, send us your mystery recs. We clearly need more on the pod.
Honestly, I might go with What the River Knows. That was a very, not as horror, but a little bit more suspense, figuring out what happened, family mystery kind of book.
Did love that book. I did DNF its sequel.
Yeah. Damn.
Picking it up. But loved book one. Pretty good. All right. Well, guys, rate and review our podcast 5 stars. Thanks for listening. Check out more Busy Girls content online, busygirlspod.com, or at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. We love to hear from you guys. We read all your DMs and we try to read your book recommendations. So with that, I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.